Hey guys, welcome to the Forward Life podcast. Now, this is not going to be an episode labeled as, you know, episode 7 or whatever it may be, but this is more episode 2.1. And the reason why I'm doing this and how I'm doing this is the week of the episode that's going to currently be released is going to be the episode that this is going to be in, but it's going to be an iteration, kind of like how, you know, versions of an OS comes out. So version 2.1 or 2.2. And these are going to be episodes that you're going to see throughout the day. Maybe it's going to be spontaneous and I might do something that warrants a podcast or kind of like audio recording of what I did. But essentially, something happened that I really want to discuss, and I really wanted to talk about it in a format that kind of helps the whole conversation and kind of, you know, adds to what was talked about before. So everybody that doesn't know, there was a kind of a conversation that happened on, I believe, Thursday or Friday. I want to say Thursday it happened. And this is Thursday, 8/11/2018. Okay. This is the recording of that day. This is today's recording. Thursday, 8/09, I believe, was the day that it happened. Anyways. But the conversation that happened was, let me start with the whole thing. Hi, this is Forward. Welcome to the For Life podcast. If there was any ads that I would have, they would go here, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay. The conversation on this podcast run by Trainwreck TV, called the Scuffed Podcast, was in the conversation of the IRL being removed from Twitch and in place having a tag system, a sort of subgenre, a subcategory type of thing, and all these different things to kind of add to Twitch. So they were moving IRL, but dividing it into 10 different subcategories, and then also having, also adding tags to specific streamers or to all the streamers that they can individually put themselves to have better discoverability. Okay, so I watched the entire thing and to the point in which they get off the topic that I'm talking about right now, because they do talk about other things, and I want to add to that afterwards on a different episode. But essentially, the conversation was the whole removing of IRL, how are they going to handle it, and what they're going to do about it. Okay, so there are several of guests, a huge 10 people talking at this kind of roundtable kind of discussion. Trihex, Pokimane, Asmogold, Jake and Bake, Destiny XQC, Giant Waffle, and of course the host, Trainwreck. There's a few more, but I don't have their names in front of me. I apologize. I believe Fredmeister and, It'll come up later on. So I want to emphasize on the whole topic of the thing right here. So the biggest thing that I really wanted to talk about is how they're going to actually formulate and how they're actually going to organize this entire thing on Twitch. And I feel like how will it look? Are there going to be two big sections? Is it going to be gaming versus non-gaming? How will it, you know, are there going to be two tags? Is it going to be like one separate island and the other, as Trihex mentioned during the podcast itself? And where really does Twitch want to bring their audience or bring their whole brand? Do they want it to be like Justin TV again, or do they want it to be, you know, their own gaming thing? Because the way that, if you remember back in Justin TV, it was exactly this. More emphasis on the actual, I think gaming was a big thing back then, but it wasn't like very used like as it is now. But it was very like real people with cameras just talking to the camera, you know, doing their own thing, and then kind of just running with the whole Justin TV type of thing, right? Until they separated and Twitch just to become gaming related. Anyway, so what I want to do is kind of take highlights of the video and kind of talk about each specific point in which each person kind of brings up, and I'll provide their names as they're bringing it up, just so you can kind of get, you know, the voice to the name and the name to the voice. But yeah, so just listen to some parts of the podcast, and I'll converse on what they're trying to bring up, like what they're trying to talk about, and my opinion about what they're really speaking about in that time. So the first topic we have is from S-Fan TV, talking to a point that Asmongold had initially brought up. Take a listen.
One thing that you kind of mentioned, I just want to go back to it before we move away from it, is talking about a game is different than playing a game, right? But like in your case, you do AllCraft, I do Classic Cast. For me, I mean, and AllCraft is much bigger, but like not being in the WoW section for doing the podcast is kind of concerning for me because we're a little bit smaller, right?
Well, it would be bad for me too. In my opinion, I think that if you're doing a podcast about a game specifically, right? Right. If you're doing, like, I think I mean, Cutie Pie has, like, his League podcast, like, we have AllCraft, et cetera. I think that those podcasts should be allowed to be in the section for the game that they're centered around.
So with this whole situation, I believe that it is definitely better for you to have the talk show being labeled as World of Warcraft, if you're talking about World of Warcraft, than it to be labeled as a talk show thing. And what I'm hoping is that the whole tag thing, as Pokimane mentioned, was that, you know, you can label it as the game, you can have your game as a category, and then have a tag for talk show or for podcast or for whatever it may be. The problem is that this is the exact same thing that we have right now. And it isn't working, because a lot of the times it's just the top heavy people that get the views, and it doesn't really help anybody else. But hopefully there's some kind of metadata thing that they bring in. Then we'll talk about that later, because we're talking about that a lot in this little section. The podcast really go in deep in the conversation about metadata and how algorithms work, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here. So the next clip that I really want to emphasize is the conversation that Jake and Bake brings up, talking about how the whole system of, you know, being the top viewer and how it may help someone under, and then being somebody under helping the people on top.
Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I just want to say, as IRL streamer, I've never done a computer stream at all. I never really overlap with anything other than what IRL has been. A huge part of my growth has definitely been the fact that there's a huge overlap from gaming streamers that just fall into like IRL, and they start to like just like kind of maybe casually browse it. Whereas if it's going to be, this is going to be the other side of the argument, and I'm trying to look at, I look at everything both ways, of course, is if it's like gaming, non-gaming separated, like you guys talked about before, I think that's going to actually, it's going to be really great for having like targeted viewers, like people that are really interested in what you want, but those numbers might be smaller. So you might have like a better audience for exactly what you do, but the numbers would be smaller for like potential, just like just eyes, like just browsing you. And yeah, for me, I think like, yeah, as IRL in general, I guess as a bigger streamer in IRL, it's different for me than a smaller streamer might help them. But I feel like it's like, it's going to stop a lot of
gaming. The peak potential isn't as high.
So the biggest thing about this conversation right now is the conversation about how IRL is kind of so vague and so general that anybody can really use it. And anybody that, you know, goes on to a stream kind of sees that somebody is, you know, let's say a Fortnite main, but is using the in real life tag to be where they're supposed to be because they're not really gaming, but because they're talking to their stream, they're now not actually, you know, in Fortnite or whatever it may be. A big example of this is like Tim the Tatman, and how Tim the Tatman uses the in real life to kind of talk to his stream before he starts actually playing Fortnite, and then later on goes and plays a Fortnite for like however many hours, and then finishes the stream on in real life. What he's talking about is how people from in real life kind of get some of the trickle down or some kind of the trickle down of viewers in that category. Because he's in real life and he has like 10,000 viewers, somebody that only has like 500 or 1,000 will now get you know, some vague number, like 100 viewers more because he has, because Tim the Tatman has in real life. Now, at the end of that clip, you heard XQC kind of say the potential isn't as high. Now, that is something that I completely disagree with, because the same situation will happen, but now because your favorite streamer is doing something like arts and crafts, they're going to be in the arts and crafts subcategory, and now everybody that is also doing that in a sort of like the main, like they are the main in doing that, like someone only does origami, let's say, and then let's say Tim the Tatman for some reason finally decides to do origami. Now everybody that is doing origami as a main will kind of get that subcategory main buff, because they have already 500 people that watch them all the time as regulars, but now they're getting more viewers because Tim the Tatman decided to do origami as well. And again, origami is just the name, but it could be anything, right? Cooking, working out, you know, in real life, you know, going to the bank. If someone mains that doing that, the whole thing is that they have their foot in the whole origami section, and now because some random streamer with a lot of views is finally doing origami, they get to finally get the viewers come to them. The only reason why I guess the potential isn't as high is because there's going to be categories that people don't, top streamers don't do, because gaming is their thing. But we're not mentioning and we're not bringing into the conversation all the art streamers that do woodworking or, you know, origami that have a lot of viewers, because IRL is one big category, anybody with over 10,000 viewers, you know, makes their stream become in the fifth page type of thing, right? So I think this is going to be good, just because you're going to have people that main in a certain subgenre, a subcategory with a certain tag that is, you know, very unique to them. And they're going to get, because they're the main, quote unquote, in that category, they're going to get the whole fall off, you know, trickling down viewers that go to their channel. I think it's really good. So in this next clip, the conversation continued in the direction of, you know, who was really looking for the categories that we're looking for. And I think the idea that XQC is going to bring up is kind of flawed, in the sense that he's only looking at his own way and his own mindset, instead of looking at what maybe other people would want to actually look for on Twitch. Take a listen.
Yeah, XQC, go ahead. XQC, yeah. Then S-Fan.
Okay, so who would browse podcasts to go watch podcasts? Right. Hey, today I feel like I want to watch podcasts. Oh, this guy does WoW today. And I'm like, no, like, who does that? Oh, this guy does this flower podcast. Fuck it, I'm going to watch that. I want to learn about tulips. No, nobody does that.
Right? Here's my opinion, is I think the podcast should be a tag and not a directory.
True.
That's fair.
S-Fan, go ahead.
So I was going to say pretty much what XQC just said, but I also just want to add, I do think it is going to be really good for smaller streamers, because right now, kind of like Jake said, you have you kind of have like a lot of, it's very top heavy, right? Like any section is very top heavy, right? So whatever you're doing in that section, whatever type of IRL you're currently doing, a lot of people will just like go to IRL and be like, oh, okay, Jake's walking around in Japan, whatever, I'll check this out. So it's a little bit more, from a viewer standpoint, I think it's a little bit more of a you get a broader perspective, right? You get to see all kinds of different type of IRL streams, and you might see something, you might come across something that you wouldn't normally go in and search for. But if you're looking for something very specific and you want to, now I think 10 categories is way, way too much, because it gets too specific, and then like I might never go look at something.
Yeah, they're all gonna die. Like, yeah.
10 is a terrible idea. I think it's really, really bad. Yeah, but I think if it is like into like five subcategories, then somebody who's like 100 Andy doing arts and crafts, then they might happen to be on like the second row. Whereas if they're on the total IRL section, they might be like 6th, 7th, 8th row, you know, and then nobody might see their stream.
So here we have XQC talking about something that I think is very dangerous to talk about in terms of like how you might perceive the viewer side of, you know, witnessing Twitch. And I think the thing that he tried to say is that the, you know, nobody really goes to Twitch to really look at somebody, you know, doing pottery. Nobody's searching Twitch in order for someone that does that. And I think because you know, the categories are not so divided in that way, people can't. It's hard for you to go to the in real life section to find you know, traditional art or digital art or again, origami, right? Because these categories are jumbled up into one, right? But people, when he said that people don't search for podcasts, I find that to be something that is completely incorrect, because right now in the whole world of you know having your phone and all that stuff and being on the move, commuting, you know, working out, whatever it may be, you know, audio is a huge thing, and people are cooking while they're listening to podcasts. People are taking care of their kids, or you know, going to work, you know, working out, whatever it may be. They're doing that while they're listening to a podcast or while they're listening to music, whatever it may be, right? So people are searching for these categories, and people are searching for what may be their interests at that time, right? It kept on going. The conversation kept on going until it went to S-Fan TV. Before we go to S-Fan, it went to Asmogold talking about how podcast should be its own tag. Completely agree. I believe, though, that there should be a talk show side of a category or division or whatever, a directory, simply because there are going to be streamers that only do talk shows, or they're only going to have like a weekly talk show that they're coming to Twitch for. And I think that's going to be good for people to come and host their live content, live communicating, you know, communications with their chat, live interaction type of thing with their audience. And they're only doing that on Twitch. It's definitely going to be good for them to stay here. Going further, though, talking about S-Fan TV on the conversation about, you know, having 10 categories is too much. Now, I feel that having 10 categories is possibly the most you'd ever need. And if you do add more, it would be 5 more. But if you limit it to only 5, then you're only covering, like, I can cover 5 things at the top of my hand right now, right? And then it's going to be harder for me to cover 10 things. And then later on, it's going to be even harder for me to cover 15 things. But what I think is really good in having 10 categories is that you're going to have your big, you're going to have your people that main that category really dominate that category, in which later on, helping people under that category become big as well. So if you have somebody that does traditional art, and they have like 1,000 viewers, or you know, like they have 100,000 followers, 1,000 viewers, and they're finishing their stream. They're finishing their stream in the UK when it's prime time for Americans. Then you'd easily have a situation where that 1,000 viewer streamer is going to be able to help the lower streamer with a host, with a surprise host, and they're gonna bring up the numbers that people have on those streams, simply for the fact that the people that are watching that main streamer, you know, do origami, they're now gonna have more content to watch and learn more about origami on a different stream. Now you're gonna have a different character, You're going to have a different, you know, atmosphere. Maybe the music's different that people are playing, but the whole idea is still the same, that they are doing origami. Here is another origami streamer. The next topic is from Trihex, adding on to the topic about viewer count and how it affects discoverability, and something that he kind of wants to bring to the attention of people.
All right, so I actually want to elaborate further on that. I do very much agree that Twitch is extremely top heavy, and that like every new feature that comes out just helps boost them as well as smaller streamers to continue to grow. So it just seems to me like this constant scaling of growth for everyone involved, and just the people who are trying to get to that point of like sustainability, self-sustainability with like going full time if you're like working part time or streaming part time. I find it's really important to cater to those people so that the site grows and the culture continues to develop and whatnot. But I've always been pondering here, like, this is actually a smaller argument for what ultimately I feel is like the problem of discoverability on Twitch. Talked about before on Greek's podcast in the past, where I feel like the metric that's overemphasized right now is view count. And I get there's definitely a worth to doing that. But I wish we could just live in a world where view count wasn't the only way to see things. Like virality of it, of the activity of Twitch chat. You know, Twitch chat has spiked up 900% in this one stream. Come over here.
So this is something that I have been talking about for the longest time with, you know, my friends and people that I converse with in the Twitch community. The whole idea that it's super hard for someone to get views in Twitch just because everyone is either streaming or everyone is either either streaming or watching one of the higher streamers stream Twitch. And anything that is implemented into Twitch is supposed to fix that and you kind of assist in the whole situation. But even with like communities on Facebook, you know, communities on Discord or whatever it may be, all these things don't work for the simple fact that everybody's chasing the same dream. Everyone's chasing the same thing. The problem here is that everything's so top heavy that only the top streamers are seen and only the top streamers are visited. And the only time that really anything kind of trickles down to any of the other streamers that are much lower are friends of that top streamer or people that are in that same game category and just happen to have a few stragglers come by as well. So later on, I think I'll mention something like this, but the recommended viewers, the recommended streams that you may have implemented kind of works with the whole tagging system. But the whole category thing is supposed to fix that and help that. But I feel like it's still going to be very top heavy. And I think there's something that needs to be emphasized about, you know, networking, properly networking, not just like all these, you know, stream communities that don't do anything really. And kind of having something that virality that helps people that are much smaller when they have an influx of viewers or like a really big host to finally get their way in front of more people's eyes. The question about, you know, whether, you know, you'd be full-time or part-time is a different thing, but the whole thing about helping people get to the point where they want to be in their streaming career to become who they want and to become comfortable with streaming. And I think that it's something that I've been struggling with a lot in the last like year, and even because I started way back when Justin TV was starting the whole idea of streaming, but only recently, like last year and maybe 2 years ago, started to make it more serious and making videos and stuff like that. All these things don't help because Twitch doesn't help. All these things don't add to the whole system of becoming a bigger streamer, because Twitch doesn't allow the smaller streamers to be bigger than they are because of the algorithm that they have in store. So the next topic is brought by Destiny, talking about how metadata works and whether a user should be able to tag themselves or if the platform should be tagging the users themselves. I think this is something that really we need to really talk about and really need to emphasize in this whole development of Twitch, because this is what's going to help all the small streamers gain a bigger audience and help, you know, better their content in the long run.
The self-described tags sound horrible. Were people actually advocating this? I thought that the tags would be like auto-generated by Twitch.
Oh, no, I think you choose them. I'm pretty positive. Yeah,
okay, that sounds like a horrible fucking idea then.
The entire purpose
of like tagging is what you want to do is you want to create metadata about video content. That's the big problem with
Twitch. But that's how people do it on YouTube. So
no.
Wait, tags will not be user generated, but you'll be able to suggest
them. You might be able to put your own tags or description on YouTube, but a lot of that stuff is handled automatically on the YouTube backend. Like when I get like recommended videos at the end of a video, it's not just based on what people have tagged. It's like people that have watched certain videos watch other videos, and those people are more likely to click it, so we're going to recommend it. It's like a really sophisticated way of like recommending new videos to people that are likely to click through and see them.
Well, Twitch already has that, I think.
Well, I don't think they do, because the problem with Twitch right now is they don't have metadata concerning streams. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got like the title of the stream and the stream itself, but what is it about? Like, if I were to search for your stream, there's no data that Twitch logs, or if they do, it's new. It actually describes the stream. Like, for YouTube, if you go through like the elements or whatever that are related to a video, there's 50 million different fucking descriptive words and tags that they can use to sort and organize videos. Twitch needs that in order to have any discoverability
I actually completely agree with that.
So this is my own knowledge of the whole algorithm on Twitch. I don't have the actual code. Like, I don't think anybody has the actual code on how things actually work on Twitch's side of discoverability. But the way that I've seen it is the simple fact that if I follow somebody that does, like, for example, let's say speedrunning Ocarina of Time, then the Twitch algorithm will recommend me more people that also stream Zelda Ocarina of Time. Now, the thing is that if I watch it enough, then there's going to be more people. But the thing that's really problematic in this is that the only people that are being promoted in these kind of situations, from what I've seen, of course, are people that I follow, the only I follow that I already go and watch, and people that are partners in that same field. So, for example, I watch a lot of Grand Pooh Bear, and he does a lot of Super Mario 3 and Mario Maker. He does those two games and a bit more, but he plays mainly those two games. Now, when I go into the recommended list or the kind of the section where it shows people that are not that I'm not following and the kind of discoverability side of it, they're only people that are being introduced to me are people that are partnered in those same fields. Now, is the metadata going to help any of that? I don't think so, only because I feel like it's problematic in the fact that only partners are being included in these algorithms. Now, if we did this same thing with people that are not partners, that are affiliates and whatever it may be, then what we're going to have is now a jumble of numbers that don't mean anything, because there's going to be so many streamers. That's why I feel like what Destiny had mentioned about that there needs to be descriptive words and descriptive things that are added to your stream to describe your content is really important. Now, I don't know if describing your videos and your highlights and your clips in your actual channel feed helps to this, but I know that there are keywords that you can add to your stream through the videos that you add to your stream's database, like the whole where it says videos, you can add stuff there. I don't know if that helps, but I know that it is there for you to use. This next topic is from Asmogold and XQC talking about, XQC kind of disagreed with the whole thing, but the whole idea that hosting a smaller streamer that is newer to the platform won't know how to handle a lot of the viewers that come in, and there's going to be a lot of like things. There's going to be a lot of things that happen that isn't going to that's going to harm the streamer more than it does help them. Now, the thing that I think a lot about this, and I never really put this into the perspective that I have in my own mindset, because you know I only know who I know, and I only go and host the people that I go and host, and they're smaller than me, maybe a little bit better, like higher than me. But for the most part, a lot of the people that are streaming are newer and don't have a lot of these, you know, racist comments and things that are bannable happen to their stream. But the cool thing that I kind of, I'm in the perspective now of how I can see that it's going to be a bad thing for newer or top streamers to be hosting smaller streamers. The biggest thing that I was thinking about before was that why doesn't just every streamer just host one random small streamer, every day or every week, and it just brings up the whole economy, I guess you can call it, of viewers for all of the streamers that are out there, and it helps bring the community up, you know. So I think the conversation that they had, if you go to 122-24, it's a big section. I don't want to add all that into this. The conversation just pretty much talks about how, you know, it's kind of harmful. It might be harmful for the newer streamer to get this kind of attention. But I think it's in the streamer's utmost, it's in the streamer's best interest to always be prepared for anything to happen. And I mentioned this in maybe one of my podcasts that you heard earlier, or maybe even here in the future, about how being prepared for your stream and knowing how to stop things in their tracks as they're happening, so that you don't have these terrible things happen in the stream, and knowing how to manage all of your programs and all your alerts and every single little bit of the aspect of streaming is so crucial, is so important. But that was the last, that's the last topic that I want to talk about. There's, watch the entire podcast. They talk about a lot of things. The very last thing that I want to talk about, and a topic that they brought up in the stream, and I didn't get to watch the entire thing because I ended up leaving. It was really late at night, but this was the section that I really cared about the most. And this section really talked about how discoverability works, how the entire Twitch system works with, you know, smaller streamers, and why people really don't make it. But this is something that I think I have really in tuned with myself in this whole streaming thing. The conversation is, what is the life after streaming? What kind of life do you have after streaming on Twitch? Now, the thing is that a lot of people can easily make, you know, easily make enough money for rent, food, and for all of their basic needs that they need for surviving in let's say New York, right? They have enough money for rent, which is rent is really expensive. Food is really expensive. Your internet, your phone bill, you know, new phones, getting new games and getting new consoles to kind of keep up with the whole streaming stuff. All the equipment you already have, assumingly you have all the equipment already. Upgrades and all that stuff you get in a big span of time, like in a year's time you get, you know, all these different upgrades. But the idea of having enough money to survive, that happens very early. That happens very early into streaming. Let's say 100,000 viewers, 100,000 followers should equate to you going full time, and should equate to you being successful enough to leave your work. Okay. Now the thing is that the conversation is, okay, what happens after streaming, after the streaming world? Now I feel like there is no after, because as you're working full time in streaming, you should always be working on something beyond it. And for myself in particular, Twitch is nothing more than a stepping stone for me to really start this media company that I want to start. And I'm like starting that media company right now. In the way that, like, I'm conceptualizing, I'm working on how to find things, working on, you know, ways to improve my ideas, and to kind of bring the whole thing into fruition. Twitch is nothing more of a way for me to gain income for doing the thing that I love to do, which is play video games. Play video games and make content for the masses. I do want to create this community, But that is something that I feel is going to be more hurtful than it is helpful for the whole situation that I have with streaming. I'm not popular, right? So I need to get somewhere better. I need to be somewhere better than I am right now. So income is like really important. Getting the viewer base is the top priority. Getting a community that you really you know, connect with and you have a lot of care for and you really love these people, that's the most important thing. But when you leave Twitch, do you leave all of that? Do you leave the viewer base? Do you leave the money? Do you leave the attention that you're getting? No, because you are an influencer and because you are someone that is important in the world, in the internet world, now you can be, you know, a commentator on something. You can be a news anchor on something else. You can do, you know, you can start your own company on this other thing. Because you have the eyes and because you have the people that want to consume whatever you provide them, you're easily in the position to become something much bigger than Twitch. Like for myself, again, starting this media company is gonna not only help myself, but help the bigger lot of people that, you know, want to be content creators and don't have exactly the right amount of money to do that. And it hurts to think that, you know, there are streamers that get 10,000 followers and then stop streaming and don't do anything with it. It's like they got that kick of being successful on Twitch and then left it all for nothing, or left it all because they got their money's worth and now they don't want to do it anymore. It hurts me. It kills me to think that. Selfishly, because, you know, that could be something that, like, if that was me, I wouldn't do that. But, and more selfishly, because, you know, I want those followers. But more importantly, it's all because the entire Twitch thing is just nothing more than like your day job, and then you have something else that you want to build towards afterwards, right? Like, you know, you can be ninja, but, you know, being ninja is one thing, and being a Fortnite streamer is one thing, but holding, you know, a tournament is something that he did, which is really great. He hosted an event in Las Vegas. Amazing, because now you have a basis of like building events. Now you have a basis of building a tournament. All these different things that you can do that will improve your brand and improve your company, so that when you stop doing Twitch, you know, you're just navigating everybody over to that platform, to that section of your life. So this was a little bit longer than I had anticipated and had hoped, but it's something that I really thought about doing. And when watching this podcast, I really loved a lot of what they were talking about, and I really wanted to comment on everything, but there were things that I didn't really get to talk about, and some people were more quiet than others, and I kind of wanted to include them as well. But these points were so critical to me and to what I wanted to provide more context to and kind of more opinion to, and kind of do it in a little podcast that you see here. But yeah, thank you guys so much. This is the section that if I had advertisers, that they would put their advertisements here. I don't. I apologize. Actually, you know what? You guys prefer it this way. Hope you guys enjoyed for the next episode. You're going to get episode 3, hopefully, and nothing in between this and next episode. But I hope you guys enjoyed this little side ramble and kind of side production that I had for a little topic that came up. Again, check out Asmogold, Trihex, Destiny, Pokimane, XQC, Fedmeister, Giant Waffle, Jake and Bake, SFan TV, and I believe Greek Greek God X also joined the podcast afterwards. But this was the Scuffed podcast, that number 5 that we listened to and we were kind of going through. And that was hosted by Trainwrecks TV. Thank you, guys. This was episode 2.1 of the For Life podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll see you guys next time.
We can't always fight nature. We can't fight change. We can't fight gravity. We can't fight nothing. My whole life, all I ever did was fight. But I can't give up, neither. I can't fight my own nature. That's a paradox.